This is the Ash London Live podcast.
How are you, matey Moo?
Doing fantastic, thank you.
How are you doing fantastic after 15 hours of promo? That would kill me.
You know, it just means something's going right.
Yes.
You know, I learned to appreciate the, at certain stages in your career, you go through different phases. And I remember like last year, right before the pandemic, we got out of the blue, we got nominated for a Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award. And my whole band was like, this is wild. And someone was like, oh man, is that so annoying that you have to, I was like, no, you don't get it. When you've been doing this for like 14 years and Nickelodeon give like nominates you for a Kids' Choice Award for best band. It's like, or best video or whatever it was. I was like, we were stoked. We're like, let's go to Huntington Beach and let's perform for a bunch of kids.
It would be better than like the National what's the word? Geriatrics.
Geriatrics. Yeah. Exactly.
Florida.
You got nominated for like whatever the adult AC, like, you know, no. So like, and for us also, like, I've been interacting with the same people for the last 18 months. So they were like, hey, so, you know, the song's actually doing really well in like in France and Italy and Germany and Singapore. And like, will you do Zooms with people in Australia and New Zealand? And I was like, of course. I've been staring at the same four faces for the last 18 months.
Yeah. So, well, I'm glad to be a new face for you, matey. And we love Run, obviously. We play it on the show every night. And one of the things I love about this is it kind of harks back to the almost the Counting Stars, the hustle of this idea that I'm hustling and it's hard right now, but I'm going to keep going. Do you have like a specific memory when you think before you were the Ryan Tedder and you were just Ryan, is there a specific memory you have of like a moment or a time? Like I remember literally choosing between like Rent and like having good food and thinking, stuff it, I'm just going to have to have ramen this week. Like, do you have that memory?
Absolutely. So I did not come from money at all. I was raised in what a lot of people would call middle class, some would call low middle class. I had periods of my upbringing where we were on food stamps and government support. So I did not come from money and I didn't graduate. I made it through 4 years of uni and I didn't, I graduated fully in debt. So I graduated negative 40,000 US. That was me at age 20. And so when I moved to Los Angeles, you know, I was paying rent, splitting a two bedroom with five guys for like 800 a month in Nashville. Then I crashed on couches in New York for a year. When I finally made it to LA and I was like 23, we had a 1-2-3 bedroom house. We had five guys in it. And on the third month that I was there, the first month I moved there on a MasterCard. Like I had zero cash, moved there on a MasterCard, went straight to IKEA, bought all my shit and then like put it in the house. The second month I was there, I had money coming from my first cut, my first song that anyone recorded. I had money that was, I knew was coming. It was like 7,000 from a Bubba Sparks, like Timbaland record in 2005 or six. And, or yeah, 2000, no, 2000, oh my God, 2003, 2004. And long story short, I was living on credit cards. I go to a grocery store, Ralph's in my neighborhood, and they tell me like your cards, like you're going to get an overdraft on this. I had 23 left on my credit. There's like, you're going to get an overdraft. So then I went back, got 10 times the amount of groceries. I got enough food for like 2 months and was like, overdraft me.
Oh,
and then
bring it.
Yeah. I got three eviction notices.
wow.
I got my car broke down after the first 3 months, 4 months of being there. And I let it sit and get rained on and I parted it out. And I lived in LA for 2 years, 3 years without a car. So yeah, I remember those times.
It's hard to forget and by the sounds of things.
I would do anything. I mean, almost anything for rent. And that was a fun, I mean, you know what though? It was really fun.
It was
stressful, but it's fun. And you got to go through that.
You have to. And it means that when you're on the private jet that you're on now on your Instagram, you know that's, you did that.
Paid for. And that's the reality is like, and I have friends, you know, I'm not shitting on people that are born into money because I have some good friends that were born into money and they're good people. I also know a handful that are terrible people. So, you know, your parents really dictate and your own choices dictate who you are. And
amen.
Ultimately, money or without money, you are who you are. So money only amplifies what you are.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah. Just makes it more obvious. Is there more turbulence on it? Because I'm not a great flyer. I fly a lot, but I hate it. Yeah. Is there more turbulence on a private jet because it's smaller and it gets thrown? Okay.
For sure there is. So the way to think about that and the private jet of it all within music, people always associate private jets with rock stars and musicians and whatever. And they're always like, oh, it's like, how can you justify these expenditures? And the thing that I should tell everybody about is once you reach a certain level within the music industry, you get offers all the time to play private shows, right? DJs are the kings of private jets, right? Yes. Diplo texted me this morning, like, you know, is there a jet available for, you know, a week from now? And a lot of my friends, you know, hit me about that stuff. What happens is you start playing enough gigs and the gigs, the only way you can get from that, you can like get from one gig to another within the contract period is to take a private plane. And first time I did it, I was scared out of my mind. And it was like, I think it was like Walmart or some company that flew us across country to do a show. Scared out of my mind. But then I was like, well, that's the coolest shit ever. Let's do that again. So we started booking it. And what happens is concert promoters and people that pay you to do shows, they'll put a budget for travel in your overall offer. And very, very often that budget is like, it's abnormally high for some reason.
Yeah.
And so you run the numbers and you go, well, we could go wait at security at the airport for 3 hours and blah, 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 blah. Or we could just spend all that on one plane. And so that's what we do.
Spend it on one plane. Spend it on one plane.
But it's turbulent. Gosh. It's turbulent. It is more. The thing is, planes are like boats and the air is like the ocean. And so pilots will tell you this. Planes do not go down from turbulence. Like it almost has never happened. But passengers don't know that. So to this day, if I hit turbulence and I've flown in a busy year, I'll do 400,000 miles. I don't know how many kilometers that is, but it's a
lot.
Like
a million.
Probably, you know, it's a lot. I have had two or three close, the most near death experiences I've had though, were in commercial planes. We had a couple. Anyway, let's not get off on that. That's a terrible topic.
No, it's not. But I love that you share that because most artists don't want to talk about like the realities of like, that's what people want to know. Most people aren't going to fly a private jet.
You want to know is that 90, I'll say this, 90% of the time when you see, like Getta and, you know, or if you see me, that plane is someone else is paying for that.
Yeah.
Like it's not, it nine out of 10 times, it is not the artist that's just like, I'm going to blow through.
Yeah. Now, listen,
I do know those artists. I know a lot of them that just have no concept what planes cost. And they just tell their business manager, book me a G5 or a G whatever. And those, a lot of them, the stories about like artists going broke or bankrupt.
Yeah.
A lot of them is because of private travel.
Yeah.
They just get bougie with it and they they blow through their cash. And that's like a cautionary tale.
I love that. Before I let you go, I need to tell you a great story that involves you. So, and I remembered it this morning. A couple of years ago, before I had this show, I was in London, right? I'd gone over and I wanted to move to London. And I was there for a couple months, hustling. And I got on a train. I had to get off at Piccadilly, right? Because I had this appointment.
Yeah.
It was with a radio station in London. And I'm there and I'm like about to run out of cash. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm a long way from home and I'm worried. And I have my headphones on Spotify. But then you go under the tunnel and then there's no more reception. But then after three minutes of silence, I'm like, oh, I don't mind. So you just sit there in silence. And then randomly a song comes on that isn't on my playlist. So I don't really know what it is or why it's playing in my ears in the London subway. And it's Good Life. And it's a song that's talking about, you know, on my way to the city near Piccadilly.
Yeah, London,
not
Piccadilly,
really sure how I got. And then the chorus hits of This Is Going to Be a Good Life. And then I start crying because I'm like, the universe is for me. My life isn't going to shit. And then literally 2 months later, Ash London Live was born. I met my husband. We're having a baby. And
wow.
It's like,
congrats.
And that when I often think the universe speaking to me through song, I always tell that story. So in a roundabout way, you made me feel like life wasn't going to shit. So thank you, Ryan.
You know, it's funny. That's an amazing story. I'm so happy to hear that. And that what's crazy about that song and its origination, it was the last song we did on the second album. And I had gone to London to record strings for the album. And I was at Abbey Road Studios with Will Malone, who did like, well, I'm not going to go. He did, his credits are ridiculous. Anyway, we're recording a full orchestra where the Beatles did all their Beatle shit. And we're there and it's paid for. The first album, we had had Apologize and Stop and Stare. So we had done well. We had this crazy budget from Interscope. They flew me to London first class. Like we're there And I broke down crying in the studio as the strings are recording, because I remembered that 5 years less than, oh my God, 3 years previously, I couldn't pay rent. I was $40,000 in debt. I like was like my dream. I was dropped by Columbia Records, and I was like, I'm 25 and I suck. And like, and I was, it's too late for me. Right. Cut to 3 years later, the album comes out, apologize, all that. So I'm sitting here thinking of all this in London, and I'm like, start crying, whatever. And then that night I had written a single that became a hit for Natasha Bedingfield. And she was in London. We met up that night with some friends, other writers and whatever. And she like, we hadn't exchanged like numbers, or somebody, she was with her brother or somebody was like, give me your phone, put his number and somebody else's number on my phone. So the whole song, the verse, woke up with numbers that I don't like. There's numbers on my phone that I don't even, people I don't even know, Train to Piccadilly. Like all of it is literally linear thought, what actually happened within a 48 hour window in London. And I'm listing all this random stuff, and you're like, what is he talking about? And then it all hit me. I was like, I think this is going to be a good life. Like, here I am in London, you know, and all this stuff working out, and like, holy shit. Like, and that's really what it is.
That's beautiful. I love that story so much. And it's such a perfect reflection of my own reality. And that's why I love music, because it does that, and it brings us together.
It does that. It
makes us feel like, you know, there's some purpose in it all. Ryan Tedder, I love you so much. And it is always such a pleasure having you on this show. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for your gift. We love you. Say hi to the boys from us, and hopefully in the next decade, we'll bloody well see you here soon.
We're going to see you in 2022. We're already drafting tour schedules. It's happening.
I'll be there. I'll be there with the sign, matey. Take care. Yeah.
Thank you. This is the Ashland and Live podcast.